This is the JWN Podcast. Welcome to episode number 65. This is a solo show. If you're new to the podcast, I release two different types of shows a week. At least I try to. I have been consistently doing that for quite a while now, at least since the summer of 2020. The first episode of the week, on Mondays, usually, if I don't screw up, will be a podcast featuring a special guest, somebody in the creative community, or somebody I deem interesting enough to talk about creativity with. And then later on in the week, I drop one of these solo shows. These solo shows are just me kind of monologuing to you, talking to you about what's on my mind. Not necessarily about the creative community, but I try to keep it together. I try to focus. But it's really just whatever is going on in my life or whatever I see is interesting to talk about. So last week, I kind of struck a chord. If you had listened to episode 63, I was kind of really at my wit's end, just feeling the effects of 2020, which morphed into an even crazier 2021. I mean, January was one of the most strange months ever. You know, here we are in this pandemic at the height of just infections and everything going on, and we're coming off of all those the holidays, and everyone just decided, let's go all get infected and share it with our friends and neighbors. And so you got all that stress going on. You had, an attempted coup in the United States. You had a new president get inaugurated. It's an eventful time. But I felt like really the stress, the gravity of it all was starting to really pile up on me. But it really got me thinking about things. You might not know this about me, but, you know, there's some serious, and I might have shared this before in past episodes in bits and pieces, but my family has a history of mental illnesses, manic depression, and the list of stuff that goes along with that, and it's really affected and colored my childhood and my life afterwards. And you know, it's kind of one of those things where you get, you know, if you experience any kind of trauma in your life, let's say you get, I don't know, you get your house broken into, pretty much for a long time, if not for the rest of your life, every time you hear a weird noise in your house after that, you think that someone's breaking into your house. You're really affected by that trauma. And so now I'm very aware of the idea that maybe some of those illnesses that my, you know, close family have suffered, maybe they're in me. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like a hereditary cancer or something. I don't know if it actually works that way. I'm not an expert. But after like prolonged trauma that we've all gone through, I think we're all on the same page where we're just over it. But I started thinking about all the other symptoms, and you start to wonder, like, is it something more? Is this just revealing something that's underneath? So I decided to share with you folks. I'm going to take, I don't know this. I have no knowledge of what I'm about to do, whether or not it means anything or how legit it is. It literally shows up as like the first thing on a Google search for, am I manic depressive? And there's a quiz. It's a quiz from feelingkindablue.org. I don't know if this is legit, but let's go through it. Let's make light of it. It's not making light of it. It's serious, but let's have fun with this and discuss what this quiz, and I'll just go through it with you real quick. Okay, so this is the depression quiz. First question, how often do you feel hopeless? I don't know. I don't know if I would say sometimes. No, you know what? Rarely. Hopeless is such a strong word. And when I get upset, I don't know if it's hopeless. It feels like tinges of it. So I'm going to say rarely. Okay, let's move on. How often do you feel you've lost interest in most or all of the things and activities that you used to find enjoyable or interesting? Never, rarely, sometimes, often, or always. I guess all these questions are going to have those canned responses. So with this one, I'm going to say often now. Like lately, I've just been, you know, there's certain things in my life that I'm just not finding interesting or enjoyable. Like things I love, things I do enjoy when I'm doing them, but it, like getting me the motivation to get out and do something just feels like I feel like I'm always having an excuse not to do it. Okay. How often do you feel helpless? I'm going to say sometimes on that. Sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. And that's a helpless feeling, right? How often do you feel down, blue, or dejected? Down and blue, I don't know. It says and or. Okay. Dejected, because I don't know if those all really. I'm going to say sometimes. Not always, just sometimes. How often do you feel you have a lot to look forward to? See, this is a trick question. Because if you go by 2020 standards, or now 2021 standards, the answer is often, right? I'm going to say, I always have something coming up, something I'm looking forward to. So I'm going to say rarely do I feel that way. Rarely do I have... I feel like there's nothing to look forward. Oh, wait. No, I got it wrong. Hold on a second. I read that wrong. It's how often do you feel you have a lot to look forward to, not that you don't have something. So often. Yes, I often have something. Oh, no. Won't let me change my answer. What is this? No. All right. Well, that's bad. It won't let me change my answer. It's not true. Okay. This whole test is, you know what? I'm refreshing the test. That's it. I'm sorry. What a joke. How can I know if I'm depressed? If you won't let, now this is making me feel hopeless. Oh my goodness. This is going off the rails right from the get go, people. Oh my goodness. All right. Now I'm going through all of the questions again. How often do you feel you've lost interest in all the things and activities you used to find enjoyable or interesting? Now we're back on track. How often do you... Sorry, I should edit that out. How often do you feel trapped with no options? Oh, well, I'm going to say sometimes on that. Sometimes I get into my own head and I feel like there's no way out and you kind of go in that loop. And that's when you start getting, like, panicky. How often do you feel you've lost control of your life and future? Oh, no. Lost control or lost the will to control it? I don't feel like I've lost control. I feel like I'm not motivated to take control. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to say sometimes. That one's a tough one. How often do you feel overwhelmed? Often. I'm not going to say always, but often. How often do you feel optimistic? Often. I'm often optimistic. Are you generally a pessimist? I think my wife would say I'm always a pessimist. And I don't feel that I am. I'm going to say sometime. Okay. Depression quiz. This is the result. Hey, thank you. First of all, I feel less depressed now that it didn't make me put in my email address and sign up for something to get the results. So it says I have low depression. Your results indicate that you have none or very few symptoms of depression. That's good, I guess, right? That's really good. If you notice your symptoms aren't improving, you may want to bring them up with someone you trust. All right, dear listeners. This is on you. Oh my gosh, what an unfair podcast where the host is making the listeners the people who have to help the host. I need advice from y'all. This is very backwards. 180. You guys come here so that I can vent to you, not the other way around. All right. If you feel like you need someone to talk to, our trained crisis workers are available. If I were an awful person, I'd call one up right now and ask them if they'd be on the podcast, but I think they probably wouldn't be allowed to, and that would be really, really just awful of me to do to somebody anyway, so I'm not going to call them. But anyway, okay, that's, I mean, obviously the first result on Google is not an expert opinion, I imagine, but it's kind of... I'm happy that it's basically saying I have low depression, and it's probably a result of what we've all been going to. So that kind of makes me feel better. But I still think about this topic a lot because, you know, on top of the events of the last year or so, I'm in a middle-aged guy. Like before this all started, I started having that like, they don't call it midlife crisis anymore. There's like all these different names that they have for a midlife crisis, which I get. They, you know, coming up with better words is important. I get it. But what is the new name? Let's go on to Wikipedia and see what they call it now. Midlife crisis is a transition of identity and self-confidence that can occur in middle-aged individuals, typically 45 to 65 years old. First of all, if you're going through a midlife crisis at 65, how old do you plan on being? Because that's not midlife, man. That's like third quarter. Come on now. All right. Anyway, okay, here we go. Academic research since the 1980s rejects the notion of midlife crisis as a phase that most adults go through. Personality type and history of psychological crisis are believed to be predispose some people to this traditional midlife crisis. People going through this suffer a variety of symptoms and exhibit a disparate range of behaviors. I can read. I promise. It's important to understand the difference between a midlife crisis and a midlife stressor. Midlife is the time from 45 to 64. Look, Wikipedia's got two different time ranges on the same page where a person is often evaluating his or her own life. However, many midlife stressors are often labeled as midlife crisis. Day-to-day stressors are likely to add up and be thought of as a crisis, but in reality, it's simply an overload. I feel that 100%. I think I have a combination of both, but maybe it is. That would be another, I guess, positive thing to take from this for myself, I guess. If it's really just the stress of response, you know, when you do get to this age and you take on a lot of responsibilities, you have kids, you have a mortgage, you have car payments, you have whatever else. You know, it's just, there's a lot. I run businesses. I have employees. There's a lot of responsibility in my life. So yeah, it's an overload. An overload is such a good word. See, words are important. Overload should be a midlife overload is what I'm going through, I imagine. But there's also that feeling of like, am I where I want to be? Do I still love what I'm doing? Do I want to continue doing this for the rest of my life? And those things come to question, especially lately, you know, as you question where the source or what the meaning is behind all of the lack of motivation, all of the kind of depressive traits that we're going through. And you start to question it. You start to go like, is it because of this? Or is there a greater thing? And this is just uncovering that. This is just kind of peeling back the outer shell and exposing the anxiety underneath of that outer shell. I don't know, man. Maybe I do need to go see some therapy. It's a professional help. Maybe I just overthink this too much. But I do feel like there's a lot of things in life. I'm somebody, my personality has always been somebody who kind of is exploring everything and wants to learn and experience as much as possible. So I get into something and I go in, just, I go all in on things that I get into. But I always use the things that I've gotten all into before kind of as building blocks, you know? I don't think I've ever wasted a thing or a hobby or whatever it is that I've gone all in on. I just continue to expand upon that and kind of use it as a springboard to get to the next level. I remember when I used to play in a band, I had no computer knowledge. I didn't even understand what the internet was. I barely really had an understanding of how any of that worked. And when I decided to stop playing in a band professionally as my life and career, I went to school to learn more about how technology works because I was genuinely interested. I felt like if I had that knowledge, if I understood how all of that worked, and it would be a tool that I could use to promote more creative endeavors. Like I felt like it was a skill that I needed to have in order to go further. And I was kind of right. But what happened was, you see, what had happened is, was I had kids and I had family and my life got put on hold, which is understandable. That's what you have to do. I was now living for other people. I was no longer a selfish, you know, punk rocker. I was now living for other people and I had responsibilities. And as you grow older, those responsibilities become greater and they keep expanding. And then, I got to a certain point in my life where I decided I wanted to do creative stuff again. That's how I got into photography. And somehow I turned that into a business. But this is what I mean. When I go all in on something, I don't just go all in. Like podcasting, for instance, I went into this podcasting thing and I mean, I take it very seriously. I try to be consistent. I try to put a lot of effort into putting a good product out there. Even though it sounds like I'm just turning on a microphone and rambling, I really put a lot of thought into what I'm going to talk about. And especially when I have guests on there, I really put a lot of work and effort into that whole package of researching the person, making sure they're comfortable, executing the conversation. I mean, I have it down to the point where I try to like make sure the day before I eat well and get a good night's sleep so that I can talk clearly and not feel so scattered and searching for words when I have a guest because I feel like I owe it to them. Like that's how seriously I take it. And then I take a lot of work after the fact to put it all together, edit it together, get the artwork and write up stuff and promote it on social media, all of those things. It's a lot. It's work. It's work, but I do it because I love it. And that's what I go all in to the point where, you know, people notice. Now I get people requesting to be on the show on a pretty regular basis. Like I enjoy the fact that people are noticing what I'm doing here. But that's what I mean. I go all in on stuff. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But I build off of the other skills that I went all in on. So I don't think it's me giving up on things and moving along. It's me figuring out what I like about something and not necessarily mastering it, but taking what I want out of it and then feeling like, oh, now I can move on to this other thing. So it's like it's like this constant foundation building. So that's my personality. And I guess that does lead to me questioning when I get to a point where there's certain things that I do in my life that I just don't want to do. You know, you ever show up to work dreading getting out of your car? Where you sit in the seat and it's like lifting the handle to get out. That thing weighs like 1,000 pounds. You know what I'm saying? And you have excuses. You're like, I got to answer these texts before I get out of my car. I got to listen to the end of this podcast or song or something. You know, there's always excuses for you to get out of your car, not to get out of your car. Yeah, I don't know. I imagine those are all warning signs that maybe it is time to move on from something you're doing. But we're all kind of trapped, aren't we, right now? Like, who's making career changes in the middle of a pandemic? I'm sure people are forced to do it. But if you have a job that's paying you and you're able to survive and or thrive even during this pandemic, you feel kind of guilted into staying in the position that you're at until this is all over. My question is, does this ever end? Is this the beginning? I mean, or is this just the tip of the iceberg of catastrophic things that might happen? You know, being upset about being told to stay indoors or not to socialize or restricting our freedom that we're used to having is a terrible thing. It's awfully stressful. But then I see what's going on in Burma or Myanmar. Anyway, you know, where those people just had their democracy just taken away because they had a military coup that didn't fail. It succeeded. So they took the people in power, imprisoned them. And we're not imprisoning them. I don't know what they're doing with them. They may imprison them. I'm not 100% sure where it is. Lying at the time that I record this, last I heard, they were going to put like their president, a Nobel laureate, in prison for like walkie-talkies because she imported walkie-talkies illegally, which is okay, you know, but you could be living in that situation and that's a whole different world of stress, you know, that's a hard one. That's people are going to have to fight to get that back and there'll be people dying and bloodshed and yeah, it's a lot worse. So I know you don't want to compare crises with other people's, but the world is going through this thing together, the pandemic. And I, you know, to think of like what could be also happening on top of that, you know, we really kind of escaped a major disaster in January. I mean, can you imagine what would have happened if those people who infiltrated the U.S. Capitol were a little bit more successful, if they were just a little bit more violent, you know, if they started actually shooting guns at the police, they would have outnumbered and overpowered the police and nobody was there to help. No, there was no backup coming in by design, by the way, by design, there was not enough force there to protect the Capitol. And can you imagine if they got in there and started taking captive, different leaders or murdering leaders, if they actually hung Mike Pence like they were chanting that they were going to do? Can you imagine where we'd be right now? I don't know. It would make everything else pale in comparison, wouldn't it? If you're an American, I guess. So basically, I think we all have to just be prepared that that challenges are never going to end and just be fortunate that, you know, we should feel fortunate that we still have some sort of control in our lives. You know, the more we learn about this virus, the more we learn about people, the better things will get, I hope, right? I don't sound so hopeless anymore. I'm sounding positive again. This train ride of going up and down emotionally is really difficult. Let me tell you something. Let me finish this whole rant with this. So last Thursday, I published my podcast. It came out. That night, it was a full moon. I slept maybe 2 hours the whole night. I woke up at like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. My heart was racing. I thought I was getting sick. I scheduled an appointment for the doctor on that Friday. I canceled all my appointments. Turns out I was fine. I think I was just overwhelmed. I was having a midlife stressor event. But everything turned out okay. By that evening, it felt like a weight was lifted and I was feeling better. Got my second wind that day. And I just kind of, eased out of whatever was going on. But I'm telling you, man, you need to watch out for your friends right now and your loved ones. Because I know what I'm going through, and I know how it's coming out and affecting me. And I think if somebody is hurting and showing some of those signs of you know, depression or stress, maybe make a little time to just sit and talk to them. You know, I think it'd be a good thing to do these days, because I know I'm not alone. I got so much feedback from last week's episode from people who understood what I was talking about. And so maybe again this week, doing a little introspection like I'm trying to do right now will help you understand where you are and whether you need to further look for help, whether you need to further get some guidance on how to navigate these weird times. But I'll tell you, one of the things that snaps me right out of it is enjoying great company. And my guest on Monday's episode, I've been talking about this person. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while now, you've heard this name. If you live in Charleston and you're into the music scene, you know this person very well, because you've seen him play in pretty much just about any band that plays in Charleston at some point or another. That's right, I'm talking about the wonderful man, Brett Nash, is my guest next week. And we recorded the podcast episode. We had so much fun. I giggled for like 2 hours straight. We just had a great time. It's a great conversation. Gets goofy. It's fun. He plays music. He has his guitar with him. And it's just so much fun. I really hope you listen to that episode and get a lot out of it. Because that kind of stuff, being able to have those kind of connections with people is what... those are the shining lights during all this time for me. Those are the beacons of hope that you know, when I have those moments to share. And then, over the weekend, I also went to lunch with a friend of mine who I hadn't had to have a one-on-one conversation, just the two of us hanging out. And that was another, you know, soul cup-filling type of day. You know, just because I got to sit with somebody and just kind of feel normal for a while, even though these topics and things that I'm talking about now come up, it just feels good to have the presence, the physical presence of another human being. So go out there, find another human being and make a connection with them and do it safely. Please, be safe. The love of all that's good, be safe. All right, folks, no news today. I just felt like talking about that and kind of putting a bow on last week's conversation. So hopefully we can move on from there and have a great weekend and just be kind. All right. Peace.